Wannsee, Berlin, April 1941. The urn the ashes came in was beautiful, shiny and black, with an enamel swastika on one side. It was small, so very small, Jens Hartmann thought. How could it possibly hold the remains of his son? Jens launched their small boat, the Lorelei, from the dock of their summer home on the lake. It was still spring. Most of the villas ringing the lake were empty, their doors locked and curtains drawn, ballrooms and great halls quiet, boats dry-docked for the winter in carriage houses. A breeze rustled the branches of the linden trees near the shore as the rising sun burned off the morning mist. Neither Jens nor his wife Mina had asked the housekeeper to take the sheets off the furniture. It had seemed appropriate last night, when they'd arrived from Berlin-Charlottenburg, that everything was shrouded in white, like apparitions in the dark. Their 7-year-old son, Gregor, had loved their summer house. He'd spent hours playing tag near the shore with his friends, sailing across the sparkling water, or climbing the tall oak trees in the garden. On rainy days, he curled up in a window seat with a book, Hoffmann's Struwwelpeter, or the Grimm Brothers' Fairy Tales. The fact that he was different seemed to matter much less in the summer, away from school in the heart of Berlin. He even seemed to have fewer seizures. The family doctor had treated Gregor's epilepsy by prescribing phenobarbital and phenytoin and putting him on a ketogenic diet. For a while the program had seemed to work, but then the seizures came back, worse than ever, and the doctor told them to take Gregor to Charité Hospital, Mitte Berlin, and see Dr. Karl Brandt, the Führer's personal physician. Events proceeded quickly, too quickly after that. Gregor had been admitted, then scheduled for tests. From there, he'd been taken to the Hadamar Institute for yet more tests. Jens and Mina had received a letter not long after, informing them that Gregor had died of pneumonia. Everything possible had been done, of course, and that the urn, with their son's ashes, would be arriving the next day.
"Mein Liebling," Mina had wailed, tearing at the letter. "My baby!"
"Shh," Jens had said, patting her arm, taking the heavy, cream-coloured piece of paper with the embossed swastika out of her hand.
"They probably had to cremate."
It was hard for him to form the words.
"His body immediately, to make sure the pneumonia didn't spread."
Which was why they were on the Lorelei, on the Große Wannsee, the glossy black urn in Mina's arms, as Jens steered, then anchored in the middle of the lake. The planks of the boat creaked, waves lapped softly against the shore, and across the lake, a black heron gave a deep, ragged cry that echoed through the mist.
"He'll be happy here."
Mina shivered in her black shawl.
"He always loved the lake."
"He did,"
Jens said, stepping to her and reaching for the urn. He took off the cap.
"Let nothing disturb thee,"
he intoned, reciting the prayer of St. Teresa.
"Let nothing dismay thee. All things pass. God never changes."
His fingers pressed against the urn's sides.
"Patience attains all that it strives for. He who has God finds he lacks nothing. God alone suffices."
He tipped the urn and poured the grey ashes onto the water, then put the urn down on the wooden seat. The boat rocked, nearly tipped over with his movements.
"Heil Hitler!"
he cried, raising his right arm in the sharp Caesar-style Hitlergruß salute.
"Heil Hitler!"
his wife whispered, her hands grabbing at the boat's sides, knuckles white. Jens sat, and they both bent their heads in prayer. When they were finished, Mina picked up the urn.
"Jens," she said, peering inside. "There's something still in here."
"What?"
She tipped it over. Some gritty grey ash fell into her gloved palm, along with a charred piece of black metal, the white pearl tip scorched black.
"Mein Gott," she said, brows creasing.
Why in heaven's name would there be a girl's hairpin in Gregor's ashes?